All right, my friends, my family, thanks for being on here again. Thanks for watching. If you're viewing on the computer, on your phone, thanks for listening. If you're catching us through an audio or however you're tuned in today, really, really appreciate your participation, your continued support, and that you're on here with us today. Today, I want to welcome Garrett Gurink. He's the marketing director for Beist Electric in Byron Center, Michigan. A new friend of mine. We connected, I couldn't tell you when, a long time ago. Through LinkedIn, just been kind of having conversations, communication. And when I reached out to him about the podcast, he said, two thumbs up, man, get me signed up. So, Garrett, like I do with everyone else, I could give you a 5-minute awesome intro bio, make it seem like I did 6 months of research and really build myself up so everybody loves me. But this is about you. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, aside from being a marketing director at Beist, where you came from, what your education background is, work history. We'll try to keep it short and sweet, you know, answer some questions, talk a little bit about faith and decisions in your business and your life, and give people a chance to get to know you a little bit. So take it away.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on this morning and being able to just connect with you virtually today. Like you said, my name is Garrett Buehring. I'm the marketing director here at Beist Electric. I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. I actually lived there for most of my life and traveled and moved to Michigan in 2009. I went to Calvin College, a little private Christian school. If you're not familiar with the Dutch West Michigan area, went to Calvin College, graduated in 2011, and then went on to media sales. Worked in TV for What TV 8, Fox 17 for a while. Worked for M Live, just a bunch of different, I guess, news slash media organizations. And then before my current role, I worked for a company called Voyage Pictures. I was there, kind of helped kick off sales for them, and that was like high-end commercial video production. And that kind of led me to my role here at Beist Electric. And yeah, here I am. I've been here about almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years early next year in 2021, and loving it.
Awesome. It seems like you've Beist is maybe a different direction from all of your the entertainment stuff with Wood TV, M Live, the high-end production companies, and now you're in an electrical company. How did you get into this place here? Like come to be where you are now?
Good question. For me, I feel like a lot of things come with providential timing, and I feel, that God calls us to move in certain areas of our lives at certain times. And I did, I guess, television production, producing in the mornings, on the weekends, and it just it wasn't for me. I'm not the doom and gloom, type producer. It's not the content I like to create or sensationalize. So I moved away from that, moved into a more private organization through Voyage. And Voyage, one of their clients was Beist Electric. And, I moved, into this role kind of through that. I moved into a different position prior to coming to Beist. I worked out in Holland for just under a year working in software. And that's not where my gifts lie, so.
Okay. I found the same thing happened to me in the past where I was worked for a company some years ago and mutually understood that I was not going to be there long term. And once that was decided, I reached out to one of our clients, ended up working there for a couple of years and good experience, not where I am now, but it was a great learning experience. And it's all about kind of the connection and the network and then, how you treat your people. So,
Yep, exactly.
given your history and kind of coming up on that, what are some of the things you'd say that maybe had been the biggest lessons for you is kind of progressing through, coming from Salt Lake City to Grand Rapids, the Dutch conservative area, going through college and then into work? Like, what has been kind of the driving force that's motivated your decision into doing what you're doing?
Good question. My original driving force was that I did want to be a television anchor. I wanted to be, the next Jack Doles, but there's some big shoes to fill here in West Michigan, and kind of learning what it takes to get there, and some of the things you have to do in the media production industry. Just it didn't sit well with me. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to have to work every weekend. I didn't want to have to work nights, and a lot of that driving factor was the idea of family. You know, I got married in 2013. I have a daughter, she's almost two, and I wanted to make sure I was home every evening or most evenings for her, and I didn't want my work to influence or take me away from my family every weekend or every night. I wanted to do life with my wife together, like as partners. And so that kind of was a driving factor to some position shifts. You know, certain times you have to work nights, you have to work weekends because that's what you're called to do and to be able to provide. And I'm fortunate enough not to have to do that anymore, which I'm thankful for. So yeah, that's just kind of my driving factor was my family and, you know, being able to be there for them.
Awesome. That's awesome. Now, did you and your wife meet at Calvin, or was that a after
Did
Calvin? Okay.
yeah the classic Calvin story. You know, all these things that happened in West Michigan I wasn't exactly privy to prior to coming here. You know, you didn't I didn't hear of the, you know, the cute meet or the meet cute at Calvin, but I fell into that trap and it was a good one. So
Okay. All right. So, kind of looking back at the beginning of your career, coming out of school and everything, what's one thing that you would wish you'd known, Garrett, when you began your career?
yeah, I think you, as a college graduate, you feel like, hey, I did my 4 years. You feel empowered. You're ready to get into the workforce. And when you get there, there's this line item on all, you know, job descriptions, you know, minimum years required experience. And that's really challenging because you were in college, you know, and a lot of us don't work while we're in college, or a lot of us, you know, are focused strictly on our education. Maybe we play a sport. So that year's experience is challenging for a lot of roles. And I think coming out of Calvin for my degree specifically in media, you can spend your 2 years learning the Adobe Suite, you know, Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, Adobe Premiere. That would set you. I mean, 2 years of teaching yourself that would set you farther ahead in my field. So that's something I wish I would have known. Not that my college experience was poor; it was great. You know, I met my wife and, you know, had a good time doing it. But yeah, some of those things of like, how can I use my time more effectively to have those previous experiences? So that's somewhat challenging coming out of school.
Okay, so you would have done that a little differently. You would have taught yourself Adobe Suite, Photoshop, some of these other software programs.
Yep, and I ended up, you know, doing that. Basically, that's what I learned coming out of school, and so that's what you start doing. You start teaching yourself these programs. You teach yourself how to edit, how to Photoshop, and then that kind of leads into, you know, I worked for myself, you know, doing private, you know, filmmaking as far as, you know, for different commercial or industrial organizations, and you know, you start teaching yourself, and you're like, okay, now I have this job, now I have to learn, you know, how to do it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, putting the cart before the horse. You got to make sure you got to have that experience. So
So would you say in a situation, in a position like that, working in media is kind of like, you know, advertising or design, where it's good to have a portfolio saying like, I know how to do this stuff, let me show you? Or is it
definitely,
more
yep.
important to have the experience, or is it kind of a combination of the both?
I think it's a little bit of a combination, and to be honest, real world experience, you know, is you can't learn that in a classroom. You know, you can't learn when a client is unhappy and how do you handle that properly, or when you need to stay up until 3 a.m. to get that edit out on time, or when you have to work extra hard and then your SD card malfunctions and you don't have any footage. You know, what do you do? Like, there's a lot of real world experiences that you gain along the way.
All right, all right. I want to take it back a little bit to Salt Lake City. Personally, I freaking love Utah. I've only been there a handful of times. It's one of my, they say, bucket list places to move and live if I had it my way, but not always my way. It's God's way and His timing. We'll see what works out. But when did you move to Michigan? How little were you? And was that this probably a parent's decision to, you know, for work or something like that?
No, so I was born in Iowa, so in the
Oh,
Midwest.
shoot. Okay.
My family moved to Utah when I was little, about 3 years old, and then we lived in Salt Lake City until I was 18. My parents still live there.
Okay.
I decided to move by myself to a Christian college, the furthest away from Salt Lake City, to kind of set out and make my own path. I just felt called to go and try to do that on my own. So it was my decision, and yeah, here I am 10 years later. So I moved in 2009. I came to Michigan.
Okay. So about the best time in the world to make a move with the at least the U.S. economy, right?
Yeah, it
So
wasn't bad.
as far as Calvin goes, was that why ultimately coming to Calvin, getting into, you said a small Christian college. We all know Calvin if we're from West Michigan. I actually went to Calvin Elementary and would have gone to Calvin Middle School, which I don't think that exists anymore. But
I'm not sure.
we moved to Jennison from Wyoming, Michigan, and then ended up in public schools there. But was
Yeah,
Calvin the pull for you? It was really.
it was Calvin. I mean, I applied to a lot of different Christian and non-Christian schools. University of Iowa, Arizona State, University of Utah, and then Christian schools like Calvin, Trinity, Dort. I kind of went and saw all of them. And what really brought me to Calvin was their media production program.
Sweet.
They had state-of-the-art facilities at the time. Switchboards. Anything you would want to have to go into television, they had it. So that was a big part of that. Our small church in Utah, Mountain Springs Community Church, they had alumni from Calvin as well. So there was
Oh,
Utah influences that helped me make my decision to make that leap.
wow. Okay. All right. So as far as some of the resources and things, Garrett, what are some of the best resources that have helped you along the way? I know we talked a little bit about Photoshop, Adobe Suite. There have been other things and other people that have kind of helped you along the way. And what have those been?
Yeah, great question. There's a lot of things you can do on your own. You can sit behind your computer and learn Photoshop all day, learn how to edit on Adobe Premiere. You don't even have to learn, the Adobe software as far as, iMovie, Final Cut. There's plenty of things to use with video and photo. But the people that I think you surround yourself with at that time in your life, for me, was really important. I think that I found individuals who were creatively like-minded, who wanted to continue to push the boundaries of how we would use video equipment, or how we would use sound, or how we can use, photos. And those individuals, being in business with them, really taught, the ups and downs of, the entrepreneurial spirit is important, because there's a lot of times when you feel lost or you feel beat down, or hey, I'm mac and cheese again. It's just one of those things where
Oh, yeah.
you have your ups and downs. So yeah, the people that you surround yourself with post college, I think is super important, because your college friends will start to make their own paths. And so finding people who have a path or have a mindset similar to yours, who continue to make you better and you make them better, is a good, I don't know, it's a good place to be.
All right, awesome, awesome answer. I appreciate it, Garrett, here. And flowing right along with that answer, my next question is, I was going to ask anyway, but you kind of brought me right to it, is who are the top three people, college or even post-college is mostly what we're talking about, who have influenced you at this point?
It's a big question. It's I think that there's a lot of individuals that you meet in your path that influence you. For me personally, the first name that comes to mind is his name's Joe Sondheim. Joe Sondheim is the he works for Become Unmistakable right now, but he was, I worked with him right out of college. He was a partner in business and for different clients. He worked downtown at Lambert Edwards and Associates, one of the top agencies for public relations. He learned a lot, and he was always a good resource where I could bounce my ideas, off of him. It was one of those things where it's one of those people you meet right out of college, and then you kind of go this way and you kind of go this way, but you kind of continually cross paths and you kind of come back to each other. And still a great friend, you know, to this day, 10 years later. You know, he's incredibly talented as far as creativity goes. And it's always nice to see what he's doing and kind of, you know, think about how, you know, not to one up each other, but to continually push each other to be better. And so, yeah, Joe Sondheim, he's a top-notch character. I'd say, I mean, to be honest, an influence in my life is my wife, Andrea. She has made me a better person. She's made me a better believer. She stands firm with me in a lot of things, and we continue to push each other to be better, you know, as spouses, as human beings, as parents. So that's been big for me, just to have someone to share life with. That's really big. And yeah, I mean, it's hard to think, you know, there's a lot of people in that top three spot, but yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things. I'd say more recently, a good friend of mine, Joseph Brookhuysen, he's always kind of challenging me in different ways to, you know, and we have very like-minded thoughts when it comes to the pursuit of betterment. You know, we always want to be a better human being or be a better friend, father, husband, etc. And so for him and me, it's nice that we can share in those conversations to see, you know, hey, let's talk about things that we don't like and how do we better each other? How do we keep each other accountable in those things? So again, you know, it's good to surround yourselves with people who will challenge you. You know, you don't want to surround yourselves with people who just repeat what you have to say in an echo chamber and you're safe and you're comfortable and it feels so nice in there. And that's just not what I want. I want to be more uncomfortable or challenged, or yeah, just think about things differently and not always have the same, like, yep, sounds good. You know, let's keep moving on. Do the same thing over and over again. So.
I feel like a lot of people fall into that. I'm going to call it a rut, because it's comfortable. It's what you want to hear. It's more like validation of what you're already doing. Yeah, this is great. It's warm. It's cozy. It's like a weighted blanket or a hug. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, I love it. It feels so good. Mm-hmm. And then getting uncomfortable is uncomfortable. Sometimes it sucks, but it's challenging and it helps you grow with relationships, with business, with your own, you know, mental capacity, books that you're not familiar with, whatever, deeper dive into faith, whatever it might be. It's the more uncomfortable you get, the more you're going to grow. And I feel personally just become a better person, individual.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of challenges there, we've got to talk about obviously COVID this year. That, mm-hmm. I mean, what's the biggest challenge that you've experienced in the last 12 months in your current role, and how are you working through it? How are you overcoming it?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I think that Bice Electric has been very fortunate as far as our workforce. We didn't have to, you know, we didn't have to downsize. We didn't have to do a lot of things that other organizations had to do. You know, there were steps that we had to take, you know, working from home. How does that look? You know, PPE, being able to provide everyone with adequate, you know, masks, hand sanitizer, that sort of thing. It was challenging. But you know, our team here rallies around challenges, and we build each other up. We take care of those things, and we were able to continue work. And you know, we've been blessed to continue to have to hire people. You know, right now we have enough work where we're bringing additional people on. So it's been a huge blessing. I think that especially with this organization, God is very present here. You know, faith is part of our core values. And then understanding that, you know, God's hand has a part in this, and to be able to rely on him in times of peril or trouble, and to understand and take a step back and say, look, we can do everything that we can do, but it's still out of our control at the end of the day. It's still, we can't control everything down to every minute detail. So that's been good to see, that continued prayer, continued hope, and continued efforts to give back to our community and give back to God, and just say, like, everything that we have is because of him. And so it's really nice as an organization to be a part of, because For those of faith, it's challenging at times to be part of organizations that don't put, God first, or don't even acknowledge that that's a big component of work or life or et cetera. So it's been very encouraging.
That's good. That's good. So that's a little bit about some successes in there and how fortunate Beist is and you've been and everything with that. What are some of the, I guess, what's the biggest failure that you guys have experienced in the last year? And what do you think was kind of the root cause of that?
Yeah, failure. That's
I mean, whether it's at Beist or whether like you've experienced personally and then moving past that, I'm assuming faith has been a big part of moving past that.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I think that that's a tough question. I think when you think about failure, it's not as much that we didn't do something properly. Like, I think that we do that well enough. I think for me, when we look back at the last 12 months, there's things that I wish we could have done, visually or having, from a marketing perspective. But there's just certain things that you can't do. There's certain things that you can't capture well enough. Or, I think for me, if you want to classify the biggest failure, is that we had to cancel our Be Electric podcast. Be Electric podcast was an initiative that we would bring in nonprofits, shelters, people who are helping the less fortunate, and we bring them in to help talk, to hear what they have to say, and hear what they're doing in their communities. And I think that was, if you want to classify it, that's something that we had to cancel. We couldn't bring people in. There's ways to do it, like we're doing virtually, podcast interviews, but it just wasn't the same. And so it was just kind of one of those things. We, from a marketing perspective, we weren't ready to go virtual in that field. We had all our stuff set up for in-house, face to face. That's how everything worked. And we just kind of we had to transition from that. And so we have some other internal type podcast stuff coming out, but yeah, I think that was a, you could look at it as a failure, but I think it was just more of, we had to deal with what we had to deal with, and it was a pivot, and we made the pivot.
Kind of a progress too. Yeah. Pivot and progress. You have to kind of adapt and kind of move forward on that. So good plug with the big flag behind you and the coffee mug too. I'll have to get one of those mugs from you. So, and you personally, with your family, you've got a 2-year-old. Any other kids? Just you, the wife, and a 2-year-old?
Yep, me and her, and we got another one on the way. So,
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank
So
you.
a COVID baby. Yay. Like
Yeah.
everybody, right. So how has faith affected your life in the last year and then kind of your business dealings, your business decisions? You've been with Beist for a couple of years, building on the question. I'm going to make it a two-parter, actually. How has the faith affected your faith affected your business, your personal life in the last year? And then has it ever caused you to kind of turn away from something at what seems like a great opportunity because it didn't align with your values as a Christian?
Yeah, good question. I think that if I'm speaking candidly, early March
It's
was,
up to you. This is
yeah,
all
no.
you.
I
This
mean,
is going on, so.
early March, it was a scary time. We were told to be fearful, and we were told to be afraid of this extremely deadly something that was coming our way. And it was challenging to, as a father, to remain firm in my faith at that moment, putting my family's safety, how do I say this? My family's safety all of a sudden came first over my faith. I decided, or I felt as if I had to be in control of the situation to try to keep everything safe. And I think that's where my faith was challenged earlier this year. And I think being able to recognize that is important, because I've realized, like, regardless of what year it is or what you're going through or what is happening around you, standing firm in what you believe in, and for me, that's Jesus Christ, is first and foremost. And I think that was challenging, because it was it was scary. You know, at the beginning, it was definitely intimidating. You know, couldn't even buy groceries, you know, in West Michigan. So there was just a lot of unknowns. And throughout the process, you know, getting to April and May, working from home, and, you know, how to transition that with a, you know, a child at home, and going back and then back in the office. It was just really encouraging to see how the Lord is always in control, and that He is walking with us faithfully, and that we need to continue to put our trust in Him, because it can be scary, it can be challenging. And I think that's where I was challenged the most, was in times of stress or peril, like, how do I continue to be a firm believer?
So did that drive you deeper into your faith? I know for a lot of people, it's made their faith, their connection, their relationship with Jesus Christ stronger through this, going through this.
I would agree. I would agree with that statement. It's definitely made us stronger. I think it's definitely, for me, it's more top of mind. It's not that I've, dove into the Bible and I'm reading James and Romans and, you know, Philippians every single week, but it's more of the fact of when there are certain things that come up that are not expected or challenging or scary, that regardless of what's happening, my faith has been centered. I feel more centered in that. And that's, I'd say that's how I feel more now. It's just, I'm centered with Christ.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So you said you've got a new baby on the way here. When is she gonna be born this year yet? Like that soon?
April. Yep,
Okay,
April.
so coming up.
Yep.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations to that. That is
Thank you.
so exciting for you and Andrea. That's fantastic. So then you'll have a little one, and your current will be a big sister. So that's
Yep.
very cool. Very cool. Kind of wrapping it up, keeping it in with the time frame here, being mindful of your time. You know, we've all got busy lives on this. I want to thank you again for being on here. A
Of
couple
course.
final questions that I always ask. If you could step into my shoes, Garrett, and ask a question that I haven't asked, what would that be? What would you think other people would want to know about you that I haven't had the insight to ask about?
What question would I ask myself, huh?
Or what would you ask me? And then I'm going to flip it and ask you, because I'm not going to answer it. This ain't about me.
That's a good one. I think for me, you know, in my role, and you know, we kind of talked about faith, and we talked about, you know, job position, we talked about family. I think a question that I would ask is, how does that all tie together? You know, how do you mentally tie the different areas of your life into one? And I don't even know if I know the answer to that question, but I think for me, what comes to me is just building my life and building my house, you know, upon a rock, and to be able to stand firm in that. And I think that there's a lot of times when you might be distracted by your job, or you might be distracted by what's happening in politics, or what's happening on the news, or what's happening overseas. And all of that is good to be aware of, but it all comes back down to who you are. And I think for me, in the past 2 years, I've realized who I am personally. And being able to understand who you are and what you want, and then being able to align your beliefs around that job and your work and your family and your friends, and continue to find what you want in life, and being able to do it around Christ and around your faith, is it's relieving. It's a breath of fresh air, really, because you can relax a little bit. It doesn't mean you have to be complacent. It doesn't have to mean you be comfortable. Christ still challenges us to be uncomfortable, but it feels better. And so, yeah, that's, I guess my question is, you know, what, how do you do it? Or, you know, what do you What do you center yourself in? And so, yeah, that'd be my answer.
Okay. Now, do you still have, you said you had some entrepreneurial ventures early on. Are you still doing anything freelance, part-time, on your own?
Here and there,
Okay.
I do most. I try not to accept anything, just for sake of busyness. I don't like to be busy, just be busy. I'd rather do stuff that I enjoy doing. So yeah, I mean, I'll help out friends here and there with a wedding, or hey, they need an extra shooter, or I'm tied in with Safe Haven Ministries on one of their committees. So they had their annual fundraiser this past fall, and helping floor direct because everything's virtual now. So there's certain things I still like to lend my abilities to help out. But as far as like having my own side gig or anything like that, not at this time. So
So he's not available for all weddings, so don't rush out
yeah.
and reach out to him. I guess with that
No.
question then, Garrett, how can people connect with you online? What's the best way to get a hold of your social media for you? Obviously with Beist, they can probably just Google Beist, but I mean, how can they get a hold of you for what you do and the company?
Yeah, LinkedIn is probably your best bet. Just Garrett Buehrink. That's my handle for Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everything. It's just my name. So if you want to get a hold of me, feel free to message me. And yeah.
Sweet. So what do you feel your purpose on the planet is? This is always my favorite one because this is a really deep, thought-provoking question. I don't even know if I have the answer yet, but maybe
My
what I'm
purpose
doing here
on
is part of it, so.
Sure, yeah, no. My purpose on the planet for me is to be a fisher of men, first and foremost, to bring people to Christ, to bring people to faith, and to exemplify that walk or that purpose in everything that I do, in my job, in my friends, in my family, to be Christ-like as much as I can. I'm a fallen human being. I sin, but I try not to as much as I can, because of that centeredness. And I think for me to be able to bring one person to Christ, that's my purpose.
About the best answer, man. I really appreciate it. I love the time that you've been willing to spend with us here today. I really, truly thank you for all of it. I thank you for the answers, the candid kind of view and look into your life a little bit and to get to know you a little bit better. We'll have to stay in contact, maybe do a part two at some point. We'll see where it takes us. So, anything in closing you want to say to anyone?
No, first off, thank you to you and your intentionality about continuing to follow up on this. Like you said, it's one of those things where this happens, and it's just, things are a little crazy. So thank you to you and for your time and effort putting this together. I really do appreciate that.
Well, it's my pleasure. Again, thank you so much, Garrett. We appreciate everything. And I hope you have an awesome rest of your week. Welcome to November.
Thank you.